back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is John Shaw, and I'm one of the Campus Life pastors at the Lewis Center campus. And as you probably know, this past Sunday, we continued our series, Walking Through the Song of Solomon, that we're calling Love Songs. The last few weeks have been a beautiful picture of love between Solomon and the Shulamite woman, a picture of holiness and purity, an invitation into a high view of marriage, and an exhortation to true intimacy, which, as imperfect as it is for us, can reflect the perfect love of God. And so as we headed into chapter 5, the moment is filled with celebration and excitement. It says early on, "Eat, friends, drink, and be drunk with love." And if this was a Hollywood romance, we'd see them ride off into the sunset and be told they lived happily ever after. But I am so thankful that Scripture is purposeful in showing us the rest of the story, even the messy parts. And we see that in the next few verses. Let me read it to you again. This is in chapter 5, verse 2. "I slept, but my heart was awake. A sound, my beloved is knocking. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. For my head is wet with dew, my locks with the drops of night." So the wife is asleep, and the husband is coming home. The idea, the imagery of the passage implies that it's late, and he's been working hard, and he's expecting a greeting. Warmth, celebration, a meal, maybe some physical connection. And here's what she says next in verse 3. "I had to put off my garment. How could I put it on? I had bathed my feet. How could I soil them?" Which is the best. To paraphrase for you, she is saying, "Not tonight. I'm already in bed." Which seems entirely reasonable. Right now, she eventually changes her mind and gets up, but he is gone. And so we see our first conflict. And I love this picture because it's so real and it's so relatable. We can see ourselves in this predicament, can't we? Because conflict will be a part of every marriage. And the reason is, it's because we're broken. We're broken, our spouses are broken. Pastor Tim Keller shares this so succinctly and profoundly when he says this: marriage is two broken people having little broken people. And I love that. And it's not just our sin and brokenness. We also have different personalities and preferences. We're coming into this relationship with expectations that are different. And as we look at the passage, there is obviously a ton of practical applications and thoughts that we unpacked on Sunday. But what has stuck with me is the simple reminder that we can choose to either be afraid of conflict or we can embrace it as God's way of getting our attention. On Sunday, we compared it to an engine light going on in our car. It may or may not be urgent, but we definitely want to stop and get it checked. It will not resolve itself on its own. And I know it's easy to have our attention be given to growing in our marriage, right? Deeper intimacy, greater trust, peace, and joy in that relationship. But there's another secret to our relational conflict that has even deeper rewards. In his book, Sacred Marriage, author Gary Thomas asks this question. He says, "What if God designed marriage to make us holy more than to make us happy?" Have we ever seen our marriages in that light? That's why the question, "What is God trying to teach me here?" is so important. Whatever is going on in our lives, whether it's a simple misunderstanding like Solomon and the Shulamite woman, or a far deeper struggle and conflict, it's never just about us and our spouse. It's also about us and Jesus, isn't it? Because he loves us so much that he refuses to leave us where we are. Like a godly father, he trains us, and he will often use our closest relationships to do it. Hebrews 12, 10 and 11 says it this way: "Our earthly fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." So when God gets our attention, we respond. Church, this week, let's not let this opportunity go. In your marriage, or even in some close relationship in your life, is there any conflict that you have been sweeping under the rug? Any distance that you've allowed to grow? Let's together ask God for wisdom on how to pursue peace and restoration. It will not only change our marriages, but it will also draw each one of us into a deeper intimacy with Jesus. Thanks for joining today. Now I want to have you have an opportunity to take a few minutes to just pray on your own.